Welcome back. We are in Esther chapter 6, verse 1. Let's go. Esther chapter 6, verse 1. So we've got Queen Esther, who invited her king, King Xerxes, her husband, and his right-hand man, Haman, to this banquet. And she was going to say, I am a Jew, and the decree that you sent out to kill all the Jews means I'm going to die. It's going to kill all of my people. I'm asking you to help me. She didn't go through with it during that first meeting for whatever reason. So she's going to have a second meeting, the second banquet to do it. Just remember that God's timing is perfect. Maybe she was sitting there just saying, I felt led to have this banquet, but I don't feel led to lay it all on the line right now, but a second banquet. So God could just be speaking through her. And this I want us to all think about, right? Because there's times in our life where we're like, I don't really know if God wants me to do this certain thing. Do I have the full confidence that he wants me to do it now, to delay it, to do something else? And that can be hard. That may have been exactly what she was going through. You may feel very confident in something, that God is leading you to something. Sometimes it doesn't work out the way that you want it to. Sometimes you'll go into something with a little less confidence that God's leading you into something, and it'll turn out great. But we just have to trust God with his timing. His timing's perfect. And remember, his timing is so different than ours. He sees the past, the present, and the future all at once, right? He's omnipresent. He can be everywhere at once. He's omnipotent. He's all-powerful. He's omniscient. He's all-knowing. We are not. He is infinite. We are finite. So, but in our decision making, you know, I just feel myself in Esther in this situation. Like, I've had these moments where I have been in a situation. I'm like, I just don't know if I feel fully confident. I don't know if God's really kind of spoken, not audibly spoken to me, but do I just feel like this is what God wants me doing? And sometimes I do, and sometimes I don't. So I can really relate to perhaps what Esther's going through right now, even though she did lay it all on the line by going into the king's court, risking death, because at that point in time and in that culture, her approaching the king without being invited typically resulted in death, but it didn't here. So we're going on to this second banquet's going to be coming up the next day, but you're going to see a ton happens during the night between the first banquet and the second banquet. It's just one night, right? I call it an eight-hour period of sleep, and here's what happens. It says, that night the king could not sleep. So one was commanded to bring the book of the records of the Chronicles. And they were read before the king. So what's going on here? The king has insomnia. He can't sleep. What do you do when you're tired? Maybe you take a melatonin. Maybe you scroll Facebook or Insta. Or maybe you read a book or a Bible or something like that. Or maybe you just go and get the thickest book on your shelves that's the most boring thing ever, and you read it. And that's kind of what this like book of the records of the Chronicles. This is like a history of his kingship, if you will, that he's going to have read to him. So he's just like, yeah, this will definitely cure my insomnia and put me to sleep, is probably what he's thinking. I mean, maybe he was really interested in going back and, hey, I might as well learn while I'm up with this time. Like, some people wake up in the middle of the night and you go and you work. For me, I get on and I read the Bible, or I read a book, typically a Christian book, and it just settles in my mind, and I'll eventually go back to sleep, and anywhere from 5 minutes to an hour later. So this is what's going on right here. Verse 2. And it was found written that Mordecai had told of Bigthana and Teresh, two of the king's eunuchs, the doorkeepers who had sought to lay hands on King Ahasuerus. Then the king said, what honor or dignity has been bestowed on Mordecai for this? So, roughly 5 years earlier, there were these two eunuchs, people who worked for the king. They were servants of the king. They had been castrated so that they couldn't have children around the king's harem and queen and maidservants and all that stuff. So this was what they did back in that day. And they wanted to overthrow the king. They were mad at him. And Mordecai had worked, found out about this plot and gotten word to the king, but he hadn't been rewarded. Have you ever done anything in your life that was great, but you didn't get any reward for? Then that's okay. Right? God will reward you in his perfect timing. Now, if you're just wanting to get rewarded because you want to be seen before your men, before other men, that's wrong. That's probably not motivated by Jesus, and there will be no eternal reward for that. But if you do something that is motivated by Jesus, for Jesus, done for his glory, you will be eternally rewarded for that in heaven. You may or may not get rewarded for that on earth, and you may or may not get acknowledged for that on earth, but we shouldn't do it for that. Here, Mordecai did something, wasn't expecting to get rewarded, or maybe he was, but he didn't, and we don't see him pitching a fit or anything about it. But the king never knew who did this. I don't think he knew who did this. Or even if he knew who did this, he's kind of thinking now, I should reward this person who helped me so much and perhaps saved my life. So this is what's going on. It says, and then the king's servants who attended him said, nothing has been done for him. Verse 4. So the king said, who is in the court? Now Haman had just entered the outer court of the king's palace to suggest that the king hang Mordecai on the gallows that he had prepared for him. The king's servant said to him, Haman is there, standing in the court. And the king said, let him come in. All right, so the king is talking to these people, and he's saying, who's out there? And they're like, well, Haman is. And remember, Haman is plotting to not only kill all the Jews, which the decree has gone out, but that day has not yet come, but he's also planning to kill Mordecai. So he's out there in the hallway, if you will. So verse 6, so Haman came in, and the king asked him, what shall be done for the man whom the king delights to honor? So the king, of course, is speaking about Mordecai, but Haman thinks that the king is talking about he himself. He's like, oh, in his mind he's thinking, oh, you know how important I am, and you are about to honor me, and I can't wait. So I'm going to tell you this elaborate way that you can honor me and lift me up above men, and they'll celebrate me, and they'll idolize me, and they'll worship me. Oh, it's all about me, 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 me. Hashtag me, hashtag blessed. Oh, look at me, look at this picture. Right? That's what's going on in Haman's mind right now. So he's going to come up with this awesome plan to honor and reward this person. Now Haman, here we go back, continuing in verse 6. Now Haman thought in his heart, whom would the king delight to honor more than me? And Haman answered the king, for the man whom the king delights to honor, let a royal robe be brought which the king has worn, and a horse on which the king has ridden, which has a royal crest placed on its head. Then let this robe and horse be delivered to the hand of one of the king's most noble princes, that he may array the man whom the king delights to honor. Then parade him on horseback through the city square, and proclaim before him, thus shall be it done to the man whom the king delights to honor. So again, he's going in his mind, and in his mind he's seeing all this stuff. He's like, I'm going to get this robe, I'm going to get this horse, they're going to parade me around town. It's like a big old parade downtown after a football or win or basketball win or something. Everybody's going to worship and idolize. And that's what he's thinking is going on. I said, that's exactly right, but it's not going to be him. It's going to be someone else. It's going to be the guy that he hates, his enemy. Mordecai doesn't appear to be mad at Haman, but Haman is always angry with Mordecai. Enough so that he wants to kill him, and he wants to kill all Jewish people associated with him. Verse 10, then the king said to Haman, hurry, take the robe and the horse, as you have suggested, and do so for, drum roll please, Mordecai the Jew, who sits within the king's gate. Leave nothing undone of all that you have spoken. Wow! So Haman is trying to kill Mordecai, thinks he himself is going to get lifted up, but the role just got reversed, and the king is saying, you are the one responsible for going to make sure that Mordecai, the guy you hate, is getting this robe, this horse, the parade, the worship, the idolatry, the acknowledgement, all of that. Haman is crushed. I mean, dude is just like, oh, stake in my heart. This is horrible. All right, so verse 11, so Haman took the robe and the horse, arrayed Mordecai, and led him on horseback through the city square, and proclaimed before him, thus shall it be done to the man whom the king delights to honor. Afterward, Mordecai went back to the king's gate, but Haman hurried to his house, mourning, and with his head covered. Right? He was mourning, and he was had a head covered with this. This was symbolic of someone in mourning at that time. Verse 13, when Haman told his wife Zeresh and all his friends everything that had happened to him, his wise men, listen to this, that it happened to him. What had happened to him? Nothing. It was his pride. It was just his pride. He thought he deserved this, and instead the guy he hated got it. That didn't happen to him. You should celebrate. So one thing I want us to stop and think about, is there anyone in your life that you are jealous of or angry at who has gotten something or has something that you want and they have and you don't? That is jealousy. It is covetousness. It is wrong. Most of us have it to some degree. Sometimes all the time, sometimes at times. But may we right here, right now, pray that God would take that away from us. We should not want what someone else has. And we should not want to be worshipped. We should just want to worship. We were not designed to be worshipped, but to worship. And that is why you see a high rate of divorce, drug addiction, alcohol addiction, deaths and suicide. And among the wealthy, the Hollywood elites, the New York elites, etc., because they want to be worshipped. And trying to be worshipped is an impossible place that always results in failure. We were designed to worship, not to be worshipped. And notice what it says about Haman's people. It says his wife, and it says, oh, where did that go? I lost my place. There it is. Oh my goodness, I lost my place. Anyways, it says his wise men. Why can't I find this verse? I'm looking over here, head covered. He told his wife and all his friends everything that happened. Oh, his wise men. And his wife said to him. So this is his wise counsel. These are not wise counsel. Again, like we talked about yesterday, be careful who you're friends with. Look at your friend group. Do they lift you up and promote you in your love and your craving to honor and glorify Jesus? Or do they take you away from that? If they don't, find people and surround yourself with people who will encourage you and hold you accountable and be in community as you worship Jesus. And here's what they said to him. If Mordecai, before whom you have begun to fall, is of Jewish descent, you will not prevail against him, but will surely fall before him. While they were still talking with him, the king's eunuchs came and hastened to bring Haman to the banquet which Esther had prepared. So he just had to have this parade for his enemy. Now his wife and his quote-unquote wise men are telling him, dude, you're screwed, because the one you just lifted up is the one you are going to have killed in a few days, and the king's going to be something mad, and you're done. We're out. You know what? We're out. We backed you. We encouraged you. But now that we see this, we're probably going to leave you. So, and that's one thing, too, is be careful with your friend group, because what you'll find is when you start sharing Christ with them, if they're not following and they don't want to listen to it, they're like, man, get out of here with that. Then they weren't friends to begin with. If they're like, we don't want to be friends with you because you're telling us about Jesus. That was not a real good friend. A true friend sticks with you thick and thin, even when you're talking about things that aren't earthly but heavenly. So lots of great takeaways today. Be careful with your friend group. If they're not going to stick around you through the worst of times or through your truth and your beliefs, then that's not a good friend group. And be patient. Sometimes we need to do things and we just don't feel the confidence that God has. Sometimes we feel God stopping us and we go through with it anyway. Sometimes we feel God leading us and it doesn't work out the way that we want. And sometimes we just don't really feel one way or another. But it's hard. And I think Esther may have been going through that as well. But just trust God. And even in the tough times, right? What the enemy intended for evil, God intended for good. And God tells us we're going to go through suffering in this life. He says, count it all joy when you go through various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, right? He tells us that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. There is purpose in the pain. There's purpose in the process. Trust God with that. Oh, and I look in the mirror as I say this because it's important for me to hear and to learn as well. Lord, thank you so much. Help us to be trusting of you, even when things don't go away. Help us to learn even more and look back in our times in our life and pain. And that's generally when we grow closer to you, is during those greatest times of pain. Help us to live for you and for heavenly things, not for ourselves, not for earthly things. Help us this very day with this. Amen. This podcast brought to you in part by the Portfolio Protection Store, where smart investors go to protect their life savings from stock market losses. Visit our website to register for our webinar, theportfolioprotectionstore.com. The webinar is about portfolio protection and safe money ideas for ages 50 plus. Visit theportfolioprotectionstore.com. Located in Austin, Texas, License number 288-7886.